Mick and MJ in the morning, brought to you by Sportsbet. Nobody does it easier than Sportsbet.
So much to get through on... So much to get through on the show today. Dave O'Neill, still to come. All right, sorry about that. It's just my little baby. MG Sports Report. Keep it going. Don't stand it up. No, no. Apparently it's not distracting at all. We are going to talk about rage. Rage, what gives you rage? I don't know. Maybe a baby in a crowded theatre. More sport. You're going to do a movie review.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
But why don't we... All right, pipe down now. What's enough? Let's talk about the biggest beat-up in the history of current affairs TV, which we witnessed last night on all the channels, as they attempt to shame Arj Barker for a reasonably sensible approach that he took during one of his shows. For anyone who doesn't know... Tash, can you just give us the basics? What occurred at the Melbourne Comedy Festival?
You just mentioned the comedian. He's very well known, Arj Barker, forced mother Trish Ferrander and her seven-month-old baby to leave his show at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival on Saturday night. Now, the mum of three, who attended the show with the sister and friend, said she was extremely embarrassed after Barker, quote, heckled her out of the theatre.
Yeah. So according to eyewitness reviews, that's reports, that's not how it happened. No. Either there's been people who were in that room who've come out and said it was awkward, yes, as he tried to navigate his way through a seriously ridiculous situation to keep everyone happy, including punters, 700 punters who've paid good money to come along and see that show. And she has dirtied up, and in an attempt to shame, Ali Langdon, who I think is quite a good broadcaster, has had a shocker. Oh. And to get on air at a current affair in an attempt to make Arj Barker look like a fool, this is, if you were tuning into Channel 9 last night, she had on the mother and child to make the point about how... the parents should be allowed to go to a concert, how it shouldn't be distracting, and we should all just get on with it. Here's how it all went down.
I don't know, like, why is it not a place for a baby? Like, if they're not being disruptive, I don't understand. Comedians put up with a lot, don't they, from a crowd? I don't feel like we were anywhere near that level. Sorry, hang on.
No, that's quite okay. Trish, anyway, it is witching hour. I understand.
Yeah, sorry.
No, don't be silly.
I just wanted to say that there was two mums that were younger mums, and they came up to me, and they walked out as well, because there's a few people that walked out. Jeez, this is not her best self.
Oh, wow, that is one tired little bub. I don't miss those days. It is chaos.
Wow.
It's tired. Do you know what time it is? Yep. 7 p.m. The exact time Arj Barker walked onto stage. It's tired. It's ridiculous. She also went on The Project. Let's have a listen to her appearance on The Project last night.
So I just thought it'd be really nice to do something that I hadn't done in a while and just sort of get back to sort of a pre-baby me.
And hey,
super cranky right now.
Okay, maybe she can go to dad just for a quick second. But like, you know, I'm not three little kids. I reckon you need a laugh.
Okay, sorry, guys.
Can you quiet that baby down? It's really distracting while we're trying to do our job.
Mickey, what would you do, Mickey? You're a comedian. You've got to concentrate, I know, and you get hecklers. This wasn't a heckler. This is a disturbance. And what would you do?
But that's not a heckler. And if I'd ask a heckler to leave as well, because people haven't paid to see a heckler.
That's right.
That's exactly right. But there's no way you would be able to concentrate on entertaining a room full of people with the baby. And no one's talking, let's not get distracted by the breastfeeding. Who cares? He couldn't see from the stage. All you can do is hear it. And it's inappropriate to have a child. The ticket says must be 15 and over. They're just the rules.
Yep.
I don't know whoever thinks they're above the rules, but this is one of the most extraordinary beat-ups I've ever heard. Ali Langdon should have that mother and child in her studio audience every night for a week. just let her sit beside you while you do your stories and see how you like it. it's amazing. A friend of mine, and I know we're getting on, we'll take calls 133353 in a minute, but I'll tell you this story on the other side. 133353, if you've got an opinion, either way, on this, but I tell you, that's one of the more hilarious attempts to shame a comedian for doing his job I've ever heard in my life. And we've opened up the phone lines to talk about the biggest beat-up so far this year, which was the attempt by the Current Affairs shows last night to shame Harge Barker for sensibly asking a mother whose baby was ruining his gig to leave. I think news.com did a news poll. 96% found in favour of Arj Barker. Our phones are running similarly the same. I'm not sure what the whole point of this is, but let's go to the phones. Tony, what do you think about the whole situation?
Yeah, g'day, guys. I think the Alison Langdon and this mum is three wiggles short of the wiggles, dead set. I've got three boys. When they were younger, we either had a babysitter or we had Nan and Pop look after him while we went to a show or we went out for dinner and stuff like that.
I think when you have a child, you are acknowledging your lifestyle is going to change, at least for a short term, while you make the sacrifices required to be a parent. Don't see why you need to drag everyone else through it, especially in a situation like that. Thanks, Donna. What say you?
I have four kids and I missed out on plenty of things when they were babies. And the nights that I did get to go to something that was just for adults, I did not want to be disturbed by somebody else's child.
No, I think that's right. You've paid good money. Do you know what you're going to see a comedy show in the festival for? Is a bit of escapism. Mm-hmm. You're going because, you know, you want to forget about cost of living. You want to forget about what's going on at home. You want to go out, you have a laugh and enjoy yourself. And I don't see why that should be affected by entitled behaviour from our parents. Damo's on the line. Damo, what do you think?
G'day, Mick, MJ and crew. How are you going?
Good.
Hey, Damo.
Great. Basically, well, I've got three kids. Basically, two are teenagers, one's an eight-year-old, and I was against the fact that she was kicked out to start with because she was breastfeeding, but when I found out the baby was crying, I'm all for it because the distraction.
Yeah, the crying's a bit. He wouldn't be able to see it from the stage. By the way, she was sitting pretty close to the front as well, defying the order of the ticket, which says you have to be 15 years and over to do it. If I was on stage, if anyone was on stage, if someone's performing an opera, or if someone's performing in Shakespeare, if you're going to a production of Hamlet, and there's a kid down the front, a 7-month-old baby crying through it, it's ruined your experience. There's no other way around it. And on stage, I could tell you, any distraction like that would ruin any attempt I would have to navigate that gig. Steve's on the line. Steve, what do you think?
G'day, guys. How are you?
Good, Steve.
We are wired as humans to react to the voice of a baby crying. They can't tell you what they want, so they cry. And we react. So no matter what you're doing, whether you're at the shopping centre or on stage, you hear that baby cry, you're going to react and get distracted.
Yep.
That's exactly true, Steve. I'll just quickly tell you about a friend of mine who owned a hairdressing salon. He went through the exact same attempt to be shamed. And this was in Melbourne, and I think it made the Current Affairs shows and was the topic for a week called Radio. A mother was breastfeeding in his salon while he was trying to cut her hair. And he said to her, for safety reasons, he said, could you maybe not do that? Could you remove the baby? There are scissors here. There's sharp objects. There's liquids. There's hair flying around. I don't think it's a safe environment for the baby. Why don't you just go and sit down there for a second, finish up, and we'll do it later. She's gone berserk. Got onto it, and they nearly closed his salon down.
Wow.
And his motivation was for the best interests of that
safety.
Child.
Yeah.
And safety. Can everyone just calm the farm? There should be apologies from everyone. Tashi, you know how the Counterfeit shows work. What's Do they get to choose those stories? What's happening?
I think it needs to be taken away from whether it was a breastfeeding or a parental issue.
Course.
It's about the fact that someone was in the audience distracting the performer. So if that was an inebriated guy, if that was a little six-year-old running around, it would be exactly the same thing. I think we have to be very careful not to put it into breastfeeding because it wasn't anything to do with that. It was the fact that the baby was crying.
Well said. Actor Kevin Bacon is a big story. Has returned to the Footloose High School for the film's 40th anniversary after a student campaign to get him there. Isn't that great? 40 years since the film. Here's how it was promoted. Here's the trailer from 40 years ago.
He's the new kid in town, and the music's on his side.
Let's dance!
Footloose.
Excellent!
What, the new kid? He's all right.
What, are you blind? He's gorgeous!
Leaping and dancing before the Lord. Leaping and dancing. And there is a time to dance.
Paramount Pictures presents Footloose.
Are you feeling old? 40,
oh, yes.
40 years, I remember it. I remember thinking at the time, wow, what a great film, watching it in the Frankston Twin Cinemas.
Yes.
And now, 40 years later, maybe it's time for a sequel starring Kevin Bacon.
He's the very mature-age student in town, and time is no longer on his side.
Let's take a nice, easy walk.
Woohoo! What? The silver fox.
What, are you blind? He's a creepy old pervert.
Leaping and dancing before the Lord? Well, maybe a quiet shuffle instead. I mean, my back's f***ed and my joints ache. There's no time for dancing anymore.
Paramount Pictures presents Knees Loose.
Knees Loose.
We'll go to a matinee.
MG Sport Report.
Well, I'm going to have to say you predicted this yesterday when you shook your head in disbelief that Ponga was played on the weekend, mate, when you said he limped out there, incurred another injury. You said, who knows where this is going to end? Well, it's come to fruition.
Yeah, look, let's first say that the injury he took into the game yesterday was a hip joint injury, which is nothing to do with the Liz Frank injury that he's now being diagnosed with, and looks like missing not just Origin, but maybe the rest of the season.
Incredible.
What I'm looking at is, but when you play a game, and not many players play these days 100%, they're usually, 70, 80, 90, but Calen Ponga limped out when he played. He ran on the field, and I went, well, that's not good, because he's going to lead to him not being his powerful
Correct.
Self. So this obviously is a devastating blow for Newcastle. Liz Frank injury, which those that don't know, it's in your foot, in the middle part of your foot, and it's like a little fracture of the ligaments or the bone around
the foot's
there.
No good.
No,
the
it's
foot
an operation
is there's a lot of bones. It's a very tricky part of the body. It's very hard to recover.
Yep. So they'll be out.
What are you laughing at? What are you laughing at, Tosh? it's generally known.
So it's Dr. Mick.
Correct. He's now a specialist sports doctor.
Frank.
I'm not allowed to have an opinion.
Yes, you were.
On the guy's injury.
It was a deconstruction of the foot that she was having a giggle about.
How many bones in the foot? Someone tell me.
A lot.
How many bones in the foot?
74.
Okay. So I don't know about the NRL, but if you get an injury in AFL in the foot, you're cooked.
Yep.
Okay? It's the longest form of recovery, and it can be up to a season or more.
And looks now a fullback will be probably Dane Gagai or Super League recruit Will Price. I think that they'll go with Gagai and bring Price into the halves, because Adam O'Brien's got to change. But Newcastle Knight fans, actually, there's 33 joints and 26 bones in the foot. So there you go.
Thank you very much.
No worries. And
thank you very much. I could have told you that myself. Well, this is why she's here, is it?
I'm glad you're in for the sports break, Tash, because...
Why is she here? What's she up
to? The Panthers are going to Mudgee.
No way!
Penrith will play two NRL games, one in 2025 and one in 2026 in Mudgee at Glen Willow Stadium, while their stadium gets revamped. Big news. What can they expect to see in
Mudgee, Tash? Where will they stay while they're there?
I can billet them out. What about that?
Who do you want? Which one do you want?
I tell you what I'm going to push for. In my day, there was a great nightclub called Shearers in Mudgee, and I want that to reopen when the Panthers come to Mudgee. Oh,
who would you not want in your house?
MG.
1-3-3-5-3. I'll tell you this. There are 30, 33 joints in the foot. There aren't 33 joints in Mudgee. I'll tell you right now. Good luck over there.
Now, don't just be sorry. Think for 1 second.
Keep my wife's name out your f***ing mouth.
You gotta be kidding me. No. No. Don't shut me up.
What gives you rage? Today's edition in honour of the baby that ruined a year. Oh, there it is. Yes, the entitled mum and baby who thought it was okay to ruin a comedy gig and waste everyone's money, basically. What gives you great rage? That's one. I'll tell you what else gives me great rage. This is an AFL story that's developing, but it's now you're not allowed to do skin fold tests on players. Because
why?
In this day and age, well, because it's about their weight and it's fat shaming, apparently. I would have thought, you know, as a professional sportsman, that subjecting yourself to skinfold tests might have something to do with your ability to do your job properly. but apparently not. No, yeah, the world is becoming an increasingly more difficult place to navigate, I would have thought. All right, MG, what about you?
Right, what makes me rage is Sunday 8 a.m. noise from neighbours, either it be a lawnmower, a whippersnipper, a leaf blower, a chainsaw.
Yeah.
Always seems to happen because I think it's the legal time is 8 a.m. and so that seems to be when most go.
That's when everyone gets started. Everyone goes bonkers. I love it. Cat, what gives you rage?
When it's more than one click to unsubscribe from something.
Oh yes.
Oh, give me a break.
You have nailed it. How hard is it? How hard is it to opt out of stuff?
Or they give you a separate phone number from one they've texted you and say, now you need to text this number. Why?
Yeah,
why that number?
Give yourself a prize.
Thank you very much.
Bum bag.
Tash, what about you?
When they charge for tomato sauce when you're buying a pie or a sausage roll.
Yes.
I got one over the weekend and I was outraged. Had a bit of a spray.
Good girl. Good
As girl. You would. Well done. You get the idea. We've set the scene. What gives you rage? Is there prizes to be won?
Well, we've still got the high-pressure washer from Edison's to give away. So, yes.
Well, don't use that at 8 o'clock in the morning. Whatever you do, you'll be in a lot of trouble. 1-3-3-5-3, get involved. Here's one for you, MG. I know you own and run a gym. A woman got her finger bitten off by another woman because she was spending too long on the machine.
That's fair.
Is that gym rage?
Well,
is that a thing?
Roid, that's roid rage.
You reckon that's roids?
That won't happen in my gym because we have no equipment.
It wouldn't happen in your gym?
We have no mirrors, so no one can look at themselves. No, we have clothes.
No, there's no mirrors. This girl has no fingers. So bitten off. She spent too long on the leg press. Another woman's come along and said, well, are you going to get off that? She goes, no. Bang. Bitten her finger off.
That's roid rage.
It's not a great ad for the gym, is it? Jono's on the line. Jono, what gives you rage?
Mate, morning, fellas.
Morning.
Mate, when
what gives you rage?
What?
Come on!
When people don't turn their bloody phones off in the movies. I thought I'd go through that hopper.
That's not great.
Paid $69 for Gold Class, and this dog next to me answers the phone and starts having a bloody conversation.
Oh, no.
You can't answer the phone. You can't have the phone ring.
It could be a little bit of an elbow to the jaw, maybe. I don't know.
The old MG's joined us.
Sorry, that was just a
bit extreme.
Who was that? Was that me? That was an out-of-body
twin brother. Jeez.
All right. Yes, a phone ringing in a cinema. Still wouldn't be as bad as sitting next to a crying baby
during
Oppenheimer. Well done, Jono. There it is. Andrew, what gives you rage?
Kmart self-service.
No!
I couldn't tell you how many times, every single time you go through, you have to, it always pops up. You scan something, it always pops up. Ask operator or
call for assistance. Yep.
It's every time.
All right, settle down. You make a good point. You concur there, Tash?
100%. And then I will not pay the 15 cents for a plastic bag. So I put everything in the trolley just to make a statement.
You are.
No one's listening, no one cares, but I feel better in myself.
All right. Well, this has been another edition of What Gives You Rage. Boy, we covered some ground.
All right.
This is the chopper!
Houston, we have a problem.
Say hello to my new friend!
MG's Movie Review.
Oh, I love a movie review from the big fella. What have you been watching? Are you at home? Is this Netflix? Have you been to the cinema? What?
Yeah, Netflix, Mickey. Last night, myself and my wife, Megan, we watched a movie slash doco called Three Identical Strangers. It's 1980 is a young bloke going to school. He finds out that everyone keeps running up to him at his first day of college, and they're going, Eddie, good to see you back, good to see you back. And he said, my name's not Eddie, my name's Bobby. And all of a sudden, they find out that they're long lost twins, have been separated at birth. But then, once they're on the front page of every paper in New York and on all the talk shows, another brother who sees all this, or friends of a brother, says, "Well, that's me." So they're triplets who are separated at birth, and they find out when they're 19 years of age that they found each other.
And why were they separated? It seems a bit strange, but they're just accidental?
Well, at first you don't know. In this series, you don't know why they get separated. But then as the documentary goes a bit further, you find out they were part of an experiment. Between 1960 and 1980, there was a adoption agency in New York who were targeting single mothers with twins or triplets. And then they were then putting them triplets or twins into different scenarios, like a poor family, a rich family, and a middle-class family, to see whether nature or nurture was the reason.
Sounds like a bit of harmless fun.
it was unbelievable.
What did they learn?
Well, they learned that it was all about nature, that they were identical twins. They smoked the same cigarette.
Was one a serial killer or something? Was one like a dentist? How different were they?
So they realized that the mothers who were giving their babies up for adoption all had mental health issues.
Aww.
So one of these, without giving too much away, one of the triplets killed himself.
I think the spoiler alerts have sailed. What did you say? What was that?
He killed himself. One of the triplets killed himself because he had deep depression.
Spoiler alert. Did you just say spoiler alert? One of the triplets killed himself. Jeez.
I tried to.
You've got to watch it on Netflix. Yes, you big fish.
No, well, you kind of find out that he's not part of it, because they only interviewed two of the brothers all throughout the doco. And then you're thinking, where's Eddie? Eddie's the most outgoing one, and all of a sudden, he is no more. You don't see any much about him. You find out what goes on with him. But there's something sealed in Yale that they're all trying to get hold of. And to this day, they still haven't had access to the disclosed documents of why this trial went on. Why did it go on?
I'm just going to ask you. Do you just feel like having fun in the afternoon and watching this? Why didn't you go with something by Zack Snyder?
I said to my I said to my wife last night, do you feel like watching a movie? Because the night before we watched the original Roadhouse, and
that's more down your alley, I would have thought.
Well, I went to Netflix, and this is number one ranking. This is the one that was number one. And I said, look, have you heard of this one? And she goes, no, I haven't. So let's watch it. And we were riveted for an hour and 20 minutes. Do yourself a favor. If you've got an hour and 20 minutes up your sleeve, go and download Three Identical Strangers. You will not be disappointed. Nine stars.
Spoiler alert, one of them dies.
Nine stars?
Nine stars out of 10.
You can't give it nine stars. No one gives a rating of nine stars out of 10. I said, because it's triplets. Normally you do three stars. You're doing nine stars. Imagine a doco. Imagine you finding out tomorrow there's two other MGs.
Oh my God.
And one's a physicist, and the other one as a rebel leader in the Sudan.
I could. That'd be very close to the mark.
Did you know my boys? I've got twin boys. They were originally triplets, but I lost one.
I don't know whether that's true or not.
Little Eddie.
Eddie.
If you're out there, give us a call. All right.
What the f*** is going on?
God, you are dumb.
What the f*** is wrong with you?
Making MJ's What the
f***? WTF?
Albo is going to trek the Kokoda Trail. What the f***? But hang on, listen to this. Not all of it. Just a bit of it.
Oh, what do you mean?
Oh, no. Come on, mate.
He's got to, with the PNG Prime Minister, he's decided he's going to go on a two-day trek. This normally takes about 5 days.
Yeah.
It takes a week.
It takes a good week to do the Kokoda Trail. Embarking on a 15-kilometre walk. You can't do that.
No.
That's like saying I'm climbing Everest and not even getting to base camp.
Are they choppering him out of there?
Oh, it's hardly dangerous, is it?
No.
What, I'd be surprised if he doesn't do it on a quad bike. Dear, that is pathetic. That is half-assed, Elbow. That is not okay. Do it or don't. But don't swan around. It's not a casual stroll.
No. He's doing it for photo opportunities to try and put a good spin on what's going on right now.
What about what?
Oh, there's lots of problems back at home, rising cost of living crisis, lots of issues going on, and he's trying to do positive photo opportunities with not doing the track in its entirety.
Well, that seems a bit cynical.
Yeah, that's scathing. that could be tasked as what the...
Yeah.
He's going to do 15 Ks of Kokoda.
Exactly.
No, mate.
Exactly.
No. You do it or you don't. You get your, if you don't come back with malaria, you haven't done it. All right?
At least one mozzie bite. Come on.
All right, MG, what have you got?
A question for the room. Is there a food that you used to hate as a kid but you love now?
Yep. Oh, no.
Eggplant.
Yeah, mine's broccoli. I used to hate broccoli. Now I have broccoli every night because scientists have confirmed that your taste buds change every 7 years.
What the f***? What do you mean they change every 7 years?
So everything changes after 7 years. So if you were seven, you didn't like French fries.
Like, taste buds go through, like, puberty or something.
Yeah, like metamorphosis. They do. They have a little...
Where'd you get this from?
What are you quoting?
I'm quoting my own facts. It's called... I'm my own fact checker.
Well, I get that. Like, the taste buds, like, kids don't like beer. I mean, I remember my first beer.
I loved beer when I was a kid.
Eight.
Oh, how did that play out?
Look at me now. I'm a dumbass FM disc jockey. That's what happened. I could have been anything. No, I'll tell you what I don't. The foods, here's the interesting one for me. Foods I don't like, I like as soups.
What?
Explain that. Wow. I don't like pumpkin. I don't like asparagus. I don't like broccoli, but mushroom. But gee, they're good soups.
Yeah, that's
what's that about?
That's awesome. I love that.
You like pureed?
What's all that about?
Pureed foods. It's an age thing.
That's kind of. I think you collate it to being like a beer because it's liquid.
And put a shot of vodka in. No, someone ring and tell me why that is. At foods I can't stand as solids, I like as soups.
Is it because it comforts you as a baby and then...
Oh, no, I've gone too deep.
I'll tell you what this is. Get your sting ready. The best hangover food in the world is baby food. What the f***?
Out of a can?
You know, remember when they don't have them as much anymore, the little jars with the jellies?
Yes.
And all that stuff and the puree. Oh, mate, if you just go to the baby section, pull a couple of those out.
How did you discover that?
The f***? I don't know. Someone may have had
yes,
some.
Yes, I was just...
And the other one, lemon gelati. Lemon gelati. That's your go-to. All right, girls, we'll get you on the other side. 133353, what the F? Kat, what's your...
In the 1950s, there was a job labelled as a lipstick tester that involved a bald man being kissed by a volunteer woman.
What the F***?
So she would lay lipstick kisses all over his bald head. And that's how they would test lipstick in the 50s.
That's you, MG.
That's right.
You're in the 50s.
That's got me written all over it.
I tell you what, ladies, I've been a bit of a lipstick tester all my life. Women, form an orderly queue, ladies. And Hong Kong.
Tash, what are you doing?
Rebel Wilson has dropped a British royal orgy bombshell.
What?
Yeah. Finnish royal orgy?
Yes.
What are you talking about?
Now, these are allegations that the Australian actress has just dropped. This is breaking, where she is making allegations she was once invited to a drug-fueled orgy by a member of the British royal family.
Who's it rhyme with?
They're not the best looking bunch. Mm. Yeah, imagine, that'd be like having an orgy in the bar from Star Wars. Yeah, no, there'd be people with hoses coming out of their heads, women with eight breasts. You know, that kind of.
The details of this are wild.
So, do you know who it is?
No, apparently they were as 28th in line.
Camilla there? Is Camilla there?
I don't think there was
Fergie's stables. Kids there, Fergie's girls.
Andrew?
Fergie there, sucking a few toes.
Prince Philip.
Prince Philip in his current form.
He's forgotten one, Philip.
Couple of corgis.
Oh, jeez.
All right, Andrew's on the line. Andrew, what do you got for us, buddy?
Yeah, Advance Australia Fair in Gilligan's Island. Have the same theme tune.
What the? Oh, can you prove it?
Yes, I can.
Go.
Australians all let us rejoice, for we are young and free.
Stop. Remove the music. We need. Let's let Andrew have a go. Go.
All right. Australians all let us rejoice, for we are young and free. With golden soil and wealth of toil, our land is girt by sea.
Our land is good by sea. Well, you've done it. Well done. No money for you. Stuart. Stuart, what have you got, buddy?
Yeah, so the beaches south of Tokyo are black. The sand is black. And just to make it more of a horror show, they don't have seagulls that take you through. They have eagles.
Oh.
What the f***?
In Tokyo.
Hang on a second. I'm getting fact checked here. Yes. Black sand. Oh. I don't know about that.
No.
Is it like, imagine coming home and getting that in your crack.
Oh,
imagine coming home with some black sand in your crack. Where have you been? Well, that's down the beach. Yeah, give us a look at you. Beach, ew. And climbing volcanoes? No, I've been to the beach. And what are you saying? Eagles.
Eagles. Imagine,
you just take my chips. You just take what you want.
They're full-size eagles. I'll come down and I take a full hamburger out of your house. That friend's had a dog taken.
Oh, no, thank you.
They can take a small dog, you know that?
Yeah.
No?
No, an eagle, they can come down and whisk it. You know, some parts of the world, little dogs have little spike jackets. Stop the eagles.
I'm not making that up.
I am not.
What the
fact? $200, Mickey, for you. $100 to you, Stuart. Thank you. Ray, what do you got, Ray?
Morning, guys.
Morning.
So we've got, do you remember the King Robert the Bruce?
Yes, Scotland.
Yes, yep. He had a descendant in 1880 who was the inspiration for Batman.
What the fuck?
Wayne Bruce. He would put on a mask and fight crime and use his inheritance to do so.
Oh, my God.
And here's the inspiration for all the Batman comics.
Holy shit.
Thumbs up.
Holy shit.
Right. I'm going, I would have given you 300, but nerd tax. Because, like a bit nerdy there, Ray. From the $200 for you.
Oh,
yeah. Well done.
Well done. Listen, in light of certain comments made on this program, we have put together a community service announcement for the kids.
An important message from Mick and MG in the morning. Underage drinking is just not cool.
I mean, I remember my first beer when I was a kid.
It doesn't set you up for a bright future.
Look at me now. I'm a dumbass FM disc jockey. That's what happened.
It never ends well.
I could have been anything.
A community service announcement from Mick and MG in the morning.
Yeah. Yes, we were forced to recant certain things that were said on this program earlier. By the way, you've got a follow-up. What are you doing, Tash?
Well, you said before, Mick, that you don't like solid food like pumpkin, but you love it as soup. And I've done a deep dive on what that may be.
Well, there are a number of foods I don't enjoy, but I love as soups. And I mentioned broccoli, pumpkin, asparagus, mushroom, etc. And I pose the question, what's all that about?
It's because you like comfort food. It takes you back to a happier place as you're a child and provides a nice warmth inside, which helps calm you, be more positive and fulfilled.
Ah,
He's back eventually. To baby days.
Bullshit.
That's a load of crap.
No, it's not. It's a comfort food.
You know, does everything to do with me being abandoned by my mother for 3 days when I was born?
Yep. Yes, in Canberra. Yes.
In Canberra. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if I've mentioned this before.
Oh. Yeah, a couple of times.
Mm. I have no mother.
Apparently you were crying and you were left there.
Yeah, that's geez. Right.
There's a lot to
you're abandoned. There. You're a triplet.
MG's Sport Report.
Yeah, big fight tomorrow night on main event between Nikita Zhu and Danilo Criati. Yesterday at the press conference, things got a little bit quirky, as they always do. Also, George Rose, the promoter, has offered up $20,000 purse to the fight and the knockout of the night. So this should be a really good card tomorrow night. Starts 7 p.m. on main event. But as at the press conference yesterday, here's what Nikita Zhu's opponent, Danilo Criati, I had to say about the about Zhu, who's AKA the Butcher.
I guess I'm going to turn the Butcher in a vegan after this fight.
How do I respond to that?
I don't know.
What do you say, vegan something?
You're going to turn the Butcher into a vegan.
I don't think you will. I'm going to turn the Italian into a little sausage.
That's it, that's it.
Well, there you go. It's all happening.
Finger food.
And we've been joined live in the studio by friend of the show, Dave O'Neill. How are you, Dave?
I'm good. I'm like a Chinese swimmer before the Tokyo Olympics. I'm ready to go.
You're ready to go. You're fired up.
I'm juiced up.
Hey, and you, how's this? You're going to be joined by Comedy Festival favourites in Sydney, Limo, Brad Oakes, Mandy Nolan, and rising star Billy Styles for a night of comedy on the 10th of May at the Sydney Coliseum Theatre in Rudy Hill. We've got tickets to give away for that.
Yeah,
we're going to go and see those guys.
Plenty of room.
Give us a call, 133353. Well, it's a big joint.
It's a big joint.
But that's a very good card. Now, I have to ask you, on that night, if there's a seven-month-old baby.
Breastfeeding.
Breastfeeding. And, well, it's more crying than I'm worried about. If there's a bit of this going on while you're on stage, how are you going to address it?
Well, I would say, I firstly always say, that's not my kid, is it? It's not some kind of intervention going on here.
No.
Because I've had babies in the crowd before, but normally if the baby starts crying, people take the baby into the foyer. Because obviously the baby needs a bit of attention, but we're talking, of course, about poor Arch Barker.
Arch Barker at the Melbourne Comedy Festival had his show shut down, basically, by a seven-month-old baby who was screaming its lungs out. Now, you've got an eyewitness account.
Yeah, my friend John was there with his wife, Margaret, and they've got kids, and he said, it was inappropriate. He said, you know, they're very tolerant, but he said the baby wouldn't shut up. The baby was crying, screeching, and he said she should have just taken it out. Really.
Yeah, of course.
And poor Arj tried to handle it and then tried to address it, made some jokes, and then it just got a bit awkward.
Got a bit awkward. And next thing you know, he's being flayed on a current affair and the project. Here's how the defence of the child went. The mum went on a current affair with Ali Langdon, with a seven-month-old child, to make the point about how the baby's not that distracting.
I don't know, why is it not a place for a baby? Like, if they're not being disruptive, I don't understand. Comedians put up with a lot, don't they, from a crowd? I don't feel like we were anywhere near that level. Sorry, hang on.
No, that's quite okay. Trish, it is witching hour. I understand.
Yeah.
Sorry. Well, witching hour. It was 7 o'clock, which was the exact same time as Arch Barker's show went to
it. Yeah, that's cactus hour. We've all had kids. We know. Babies, you know, they... I've had three babies in my life. Not me personally, even though I do look pregnant sometimes.
Well, I've had two that I acknowledge in a court of law. Otherwise, there's a number out there. Well, hang on, just before you go, and here's the same mother with the same child trying to plead her case on the project last night.
So I just thought it'd be really nice to do something that I hadn't done in a while. And just sort of get back to sort of a pre-baby me. Super cranky right now.
Okay, maybe she can go to dad just for a quick second.
It is the most ridiculous campaign I've ever heard.
She's doing an Arch Barker. You take the baby away, please.
Yeah, well, poor Arch. I don't get it. Have you ever had this issue yourself?
I've had babies before, yeah.
You can't, it's hard to bat on, right?
Most of the time the babies will remain quiet, but if it ever starts to arc up, normally the mum or the dad will take it into the foyer. And that's what you should do, I would reckon.
Can I tell you once, I had someone give birth.
What?
While I was on stage. And now this I understand. If you can be pregnant, you go to a comedy gig, of course you do. You probably need some cheering up. And I see it. And there's no one could predict that outcome. What? But hey, let's just say it was a very small house in Adelaide. I wasn't going great anyway. And just when I thought it couldn't get any worse, you start hearing... and next thing you know, and then first responders turn up. And I'm on stage. I just waved the white flag. But totally understandable. What can you do? No one can predict that.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what you can predict. A seven-month-old baby going bonkers.
At 7 p.m. at night.
At 7 p.m. at night in a crowded theatre where people have paid good money to watch a show. Hey, it's Anzac Day this week. I know that's an important day in your household because I knew your old man.
He was in Vietnam.
And a good man, a good military man. What's it mean to you?
Well, yeah, because he was in Vietnam last year on a Kentucky tour. And, he volunteered for the Vietnam War. Kev did when he was like 31. He was a fitter and turner when he had four boys under six at home. And I always wondered why. Then I had my own kids and now I know why. So, I go to Ukraine.
He would rather be shot at. Stay at home with four kids.
He'd rather napalm in the morning than nappies in the morning, I reckon, Kev. But no, he loved it. But he, there was this guy. He used to march. He was getting more medals. I'm pretty sure he was buying them on eBay. I don't know what was going on.
Do you know, it's one of those things that happens which you can't come back from. And one is faking cancer. And we know that if you fake cancer, you generally can't come back.
Like Bell.
The other Bell one, and this comes up around Anzac Day, is putting on medals that aren't yours.
Fake valour.
And if you're called out on this, I honestly think you're in a lot of trouble.
Oh, yeah.
Because you don't muck around with it. Those things are not handed out.
It happens every year. There's always one guy marching. And my dad, I always go, Dad, it was always on the front of the paper. You know, Keith so-and-so wasn't a veteran. You know, he never went to war, but he's wearing all the medals. And Dad would always look at him and go, oh, yeah, no, Keith, he's a good bloke. What's up with Keith? I'm like, Keith didn't really serve Dad. But what happened one time, there was this controversy at the Trash and Treasure Market. This guy was selling Nazi memorabilia, right? Yeah. And so, Dad has a look at it, and it's his, like, he goes, oh, yeah, that's Barry. I know Barry, because Dad used to collect, you know, war medals.
Yes.
And he's like, he goes, what's the big deal about that? I mean, doesn't everyone have a bit of Nazi stuff lying around? I said, no. I said, do you? And he goes, yeah. And he goes, okay, well, go and get it. So Kev got out his album of war medals, right? And so he's got his own war medals. Then he's got ones that he's bought on the internet, like British ones and American ones. And up the back, he's got about six German ones.
Okay.
And I go, he's got...
You wear them out, does he? Or?
That's what I said. What do you do with them? And he said, well, sometimes I put one and I wear it down the RSL, see if anyone notices. It's a true story.
You should get one of those helmets with the little spikes on the top.
Yeah, sure. I didn't know you fought in the Panzer Division, Kev.
So what do you do for Anzac Day? Do you do anything
We used to go and watch Kev march, absolutely. Yeah. We used to go and watch him march. But
I'm allowed to march.
You can march.
I can march, and I'm allowed to march because I've entertained the troops.
Oh, yeah, you're
overseas.
Legally and technically a veteran, apparently.
And there's at the war memorial, there's a little room that has some of our tour posters.
Imagine that part of the parade. Look at those guys.
Tell you what, they'll probably have your tour poster up from the Coliseum, I reckon. I reckon there'll be a march for everyone involved in that show one day.
There'll be people going down.
The Coliseum Theatre at Rudy Hill. How big's this thing?
1,000 seats, apparently.
And you've already you're on track. This is the 10th of the May, 7:30. This is your chance to say I was there that night. Brad Oakes, very funny. Limo, is he headlining?
Limo's headlining. Well, he's also served overseas.
Limo is allowed to march. We should do it one year. It just seems hard.
Limo. Tom Gleason did it as well. There's lots of Adam Rosenbachs. There's lots of you guys.
There would be a few there for that. Haven't done it yourself?
No, I haven't. I've done gigs for the Army and the Air Force and stuff, but at Army bases and Air Force bases, but I've never been overseas for that kind of thing.
A lot of fun. There was the only time I've ever performed in front of a crowd where everyone had a gun, apart from one gig I did in Mount Druitt. But apart from that, it was all good. Well, all right, Dave O'Neill, great to catch up with you. Yeah. Any other gigs to plug? Anything else to...
Good stuff for sale on eBay.
Oh, good.
Oh, my podcast.
Nazi medals.
Nazi
medals. What about your podcast? Well done, MG. Someone's paying attention.
Yeah, with Glenn Robbins, that's right.
And what's...
Well, last week we had a very special
related
guest. It was soccer and war, actually, and Santo Chilara got in,
of course.
And told us all about soccer and the relationship with war.
Didn't they in No Man's Land have a soccer game?
That was one of them, but yeah, there was some... I don't want to give it away, but it's to do with South America.
You're going to have to... Oh, there was a war.
Over a soccer game.
A soccer game.
Yeah. Santo knew it.
The tanks were sent in.
Yeah.
It was Uruguay and somewhere.
Yeah, you're right. You know about it.
Hey, they didn't like the results. He sent on the tanks. Seemed like a bit of an overreaction, but, you know.
A little one.
All right, if you want it, Somehow Related is the name of the podcast. Thank you very much.
Thanks,
Davey.
Mick and MG in the morning. Brought to you by Sportsbet. Nobody does it easier than Sportsbet. Mick and MG in the morning. Weekdays from 6 on Sydney's Triple M.